Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
You have found the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. This is Sporting Journal Radio. My name is Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in. Had a big week. Had a lot to do and even a bigger week coming up. We'll get into that here in a second. We got a great show for you this week. We'll talk to Joe Henry. Give you some tips on chasing walleyes. What are they doing this time of year? Are they starting to transition? Should you be switching over to things like spinners or even pulling cranks, things like that? We'll find out with Joe and see what's going on for Lake of the Woods for the 4th of July. We'll also talk to Lucas Mertens to see what they're doing around Devil's Lake from Haybale Heights Campground and Resort for the 4th of July and find out where fish are biting over there as well. Jason Durham will give us some fishing updates from his neck of the woods. And, of course, we're going to start right now with Jamie Dittman. And Jamie, it's finally, I can't believe it's here, not just 4th of July week, because we're celebrating our nation's independence by going to Canada.
We're going to miss everybody in the U.S. drinking and shooting off fireworks and saying America.
America! Well, they're saying America. We're going to be catching world record lake trout up on Tazon Lake. We're going back up with Trevor Montgomery. Of course, you've heard me talk about Tazon Lake a million times on this radio show. It's a very special place on the planet, and I had the opportunity to go up there and experience it firsthand last summer. We went a little bit earlier last year. It was the third week in June last year. And fish were, the big pike were in the shallows, and the big trout were just starting to stage up. And this year we're going a little bit later, Jamie. And I think, you know, we should still be able to get into some of those big pike, but for sure we should be getting into the big lake trout up there this week.
Well, with the weather, the way it's been with the cold, I'm assuming the weather patterns up there are about the same. We're actually, you know, at or behind schedule from last year, so it should be good.
Yeah, we might get into them. And Trevor's up there right now, and I've been hearing some reports. There's a 50-inch lake trout caught already, a 48-inch lake trout caught already, and we're going to be up there this weekend and next weekend. So follow the Sporting Journal Radio Facebook page. You might get to see some updates on there. We'll update you from the trip next week right here at this time on this station during this radio show. And, of course, you'll be seeing pictures and videos, and the Outdoor Report will be sharing some of the stuff that we're doing from Tazon Lake up in the northwest corner of Saskatchewan. Such a cool place up there, Jamie, and it's unique because if you're going after giant lake trout, that's what you want to catch. You have to kind of go up into that neck of the woods. I mean, you can go up to northern Minnesota and catch big lakers, into the Boundary Waters and get nice fish. Of course, Lake of the Woods, primarily on that Canadian side, I guess. But even Lake Superior, you can find nice fish. But if you want to get up there and get some of those 50, 60, 72 inches is about the world record. And in 2006, Tazon Lake had a 72 pound, not 72 inches, that's a huge fish, 72 pound lake trout. Came out of Tazon Lake in 2006, and that is about world record size. And this lake, like, you've got Athabasca, you got Great Slave, Great Bear, some of these great big lake trout lakes, but they're like oceans up there. And the great thing about Tazon, it's a little bit smaller, but same genetics for those big fish, deep, cold water, no commercial fishing, and a big island in the middle that breaks the lake up and keeps it from getting too windy up there. So when the wind blows on those big lakes, Jamie, it's pretty tough to fish. Some days you may be watching from the lodge, hoping the wind dies down, you can get out there. But not at Tazon. You can always find a place to go fish at Tazon Lake.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot, because if you go on a trip like that, the last thing you want to do is sit in the cabin. That means a lot if you can get out.
Now, I've been looking forward to this Canada trip for quite a while, to get back up north of the border and do some fishing in Canadian waters. You've been waiting as long as I have, haven't you, Jamie?
Yeah, you know, I'm just waiting. We've got 20-pound lake trout. We've got, a monster.
You were up in Canada last week, weren't you?
Yeah, it was like 4 days ago.
Man, going right back up to Canada again. Where were you last week?
I went, took a little few days off and went up to the north part of Lake of the Woods up in Ontario and chased pike and muskies, perch, and walleyes.
So how did it go? Because you fished for a couple of days, and I know the second day was better than the first day, right?
Yeah, the first day I ran all the way to Miles Bay, which is, I don't know, 45-minute hour boat ride. And it was blowing, and we couldn't get out there. Like you said, there he sat. So worked my way back to the lodge, and we caught a few walleyes. And the second day, I tried some new bays, and we ended up finding some weedy bays. And we got a 48-inch muskie, had a little bigger one to the boat, and we got a couple dozen pike, a couple dozen perch, 30, 40 walleyes. You know, it was just a great day, you know, all on 8-pound test and a little crank and clack grappler. It was just one after, you never knew what you were reeling in.
Isn't that funny how you can travel for miles and miles and miles to go up the lake, get away from a lodge? It doesn't matter where you go, it seems like. I have been on, I don't know how many trips I've been on where we did the same thing, and part of you just wants to see the lake, right? You just want to go see some of these places, and you figure, hey, the further away I can get from the lodge, the less pressure must be up there. That's where the big fish got to be. And you might do all right. You might catch some big fish. Yep. But then the next day you go, you know, around the corner from the lodge, some of your best fishing is right there.
And I've been up there in the winter. I've never been on an open water, you know, and it's a whole new appreciation for the islands up there. You know, Lake of the Woods has like 14,000 islands. And to navigate through all them with a boat and just to find your way back, you know, thank God we have GPSs.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
the main thing I was thinking about up there and talking about, just imagine the voyagers up there, how they trapped that and found their way back and navigated. It's amazing. You know, all the islands look the same.
Right. Yeah. You know, I know some guys that like to fish at night on lakes like that, and in the days before GPS. And that's just asking for trouble, man. I don't know. It's hard enough to get around those islands in the daylight, let alone to do it at night. Jamie Dimmer, go ahead, Jamie.
Well, you know, I didn't come home with any fish. We had some short lunches up there, but I came home with my prop and my lower unit, so I'm happy.
There you go. Perfect. Well, you know, speaking of that, I got to fish the Mississippi River with Eric Altena on Monday. We went out and fished the Mississippi River and put in north of St. Cloud there. And we went to some areas. He's got one of those River Pro jet boats. And if we didn't have that, we never would have gotten into some of the areas that we've been. And, I mean, there was even a couple of places where we, you know, kind of were scraping bottom a little bit. And when we're wide open in that boat, he can go through 3 inches of water wide open in that boat. And like 9 inches when we're just drifting, you know, or fishing. And it's amazing what we went through. And we caught... We were filming for Prairie Sportsman Television, and if you've followed us on Snapchat or if you've gone to the Prairie Sportsman Facebook page, you can see some of the pictures and videos. But fishing was incredible for smallmouth. I mean, we spent about 4 hours and caught a ton of fish, caught a bunch over 19 inches, and the fish were, we were getting them some action every other cast when we were trying to leave. We were trying to get out of there, and we still end up staying a little bit later than we wanted to. And if we would have stayed another hour, I think the fishing was just incredible. It would have been on fire for another hour. But that's a lot of fun. That's the first time, Jamie, I fished the Mississippi River like that for smallies.
Well, you know, the Mississippi, even up here, you know, all the way through Minnesota, you know, starting, you know, in about Grand Rapids, it's kind of like Canada. You never know what you're going to catch. There's all kinds of species, and it's fun river fishing. You got to know your navigation skills.
Right.
You know, unless you have a river pearl. But it's an awesome place to be on Brainerd here. You know, might catch a muskie, a catfish, smallies.
Well, I didn't really realize that there were muskies, nice muskies in the Mississippi River. I always thought you had to go to places like Mille Lacs for that because they just found, it was dead, but somebody just found a 59 and a half inch muskie on Mille Lacs. Jamie, is that what it was?
59, I believe, and a half. And man, there was also a 59 found on Leech.
Oh, really? I didn't hear about the one on Leech.
The Leech was basically a skeleton, but from tail to skull, it was 59.
Wow. Wow. That's incredible. I mean, you knew that there was some big fish, and was that Robert Hawkins that caught that 57, 56 and a half, 57, whatever it was, a couple of years ago, fly fishing in the fall? But 59 and a half inches. You suppose at that point it just died of old age at that point?
I'm guessing they thought it was, basically by the tail clipping, 22 to 25 years old.
That's amazing. That's great. You know, and one little thing, one little takeaway from all that, because I'm sure that fish got caught once or twice over its 20-some-odd years. That's a great thing that fish lived that long, got to be that big, and it was because of people practicing catch and release.
Yep. Yeah. You know, the smallies in Mille Lacs, you're catching 20, 22, 23-inch smallies, and they've all got plenty of hook marks in them. You know, put them back and somebody else gets them.
I mean, if you want to catch fish and eat them, just keep the walleyes out of Mille Lacs. You don't have to keep the muskies and wait a minute.
But I thought there wasn't any walleyes in Mille Lacs.
Man, I've been seeing more and more posts about people catching tons of fish on that lake. I don't know what the heck's going on. I don't even want to speculate at this point. But, boy, if you want to go catch walleyes, Mille Lacs is still on fire over there. So, Jamie Dimon.
I think you're going to find out that the Russians had something to do with it.
I'm sure it was Russians or maybe they were keeping the data on walleyes on Mille Lacs on Hillary's private server and it got deleted. Who knows?
Obviously. I think the Russians hacked into the Creel surveys. You know?
For sure. Well, Jamie, we're going north of the border, hey? Going up to Tazen Lake this weekend. I can't wait. Let's have a good week up there. Thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, have a good one.
Oh man, I cannot wait. Follow our adventures on the Sporting Journal Radio Facebook page or various other places and listen to the show next week to see if we get one of those world record Lakers up there at Tazen Lake Lodge. All right, coming up, we got some fishing reports from Lake of the Woods with Joe Henry, Devil's Lake with Lucas Mertens, and we'll talk to Jason Durham as well here on Sporting Journal Radio. Hey, it's Brett Amundson from Sporting Journal Radio and Prairie Sportsman, and if you want to hunt with us this fall, you can. We'll be guiding duck and goose hunts all over western Minnesota around the Lac La Parle area. Lac La Parle is known for its goose hunting, and this year should be no different. And with the wet conditions we've had, the ducks are everywhere. If you want to find out more information, go to MidMigrationOutfitters.com. We've got pictures, videos, more information about what you need to bring and what the rates are. Visit MidMigrationOutfitters.com. Book your hunt now and join us this fall.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Minnesota's Camping Chamonix event of the summer. Moondance Jam 26.
The lineup is locked.
And we're ready to rock with live. Hailstorm. The Steve Miller Band. Melissa Etheridge. Peter Frampton. The Pretty Reckless. Better Than Ezra. Blackstone Cherry. Vince Neil of Motley Crue and many more. Jammers, save $30 off a gate price when you order your tickets now. Call 877-MOON-JAM or visit moondancejam.com. Moondance Jam 26, July 20 through the 22nd, Walker, Minnesota.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Sporting Journal Radio continues. I'm Brett Amundson, and Big Lake in North Dakota, everybody knows about Devil's Lake. We're going to talk to Lucas Mertens now from Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. First of all, Lucas, happy 4th of July.
Hey, same to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can you believe it's already we're already talking about 4th of July?
No, it just seems like we were here doing the ice fishing show in spring, and now 4th of July, and it's flying by.
Right, and I know we just talked about spring planning, and the old saying goes, knee high by the 4th of July. How's your corn looking?
Oh, we got about an inch of rain last night, which was well needed in the area. Corn is all between knee high and waist high, so everything looks good there.
Nice. Speaking of 4th of July, it seems like a lot of people, a lot of places have some 4th of July celebrations going on, and it's kind of weird this year because it's on a Tuesday. A lot of celebrations going on this weekend. What did you guys do there at Hay Bale Heights?
Well, we had a big fireworks show. It's kind of a tradition here. We put on a really big show for all our guests, and then we do a kind of a parade for our campers. Let the kids dress up the golf carts and throw some candy, and they have a good time. Yeah, it's fun.
When's the parade?
The parade is on Sunday at 5 o'clock.
All right. Now, is that on the lake, or is that in the campground, or where do you do the parade?
No, we do the parade up through the permanent campground. They drive up and down the roads with the golf carts and lawnmowers, and they decorate them up and throw candy, and the kids have a good time.
Talking with Lucas Mertens here from Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Sporting Journal Radio. What people really want to know about is the fish. How's the fishing up there right now?
Well, the fish are starting to really transition from that real shallow bite to they're out in that 13 to 22 feet of water is what I found last night when we were out. Seems like they're kind of hanging around some points and some structures. We were pulling some crankbaits. We caught quite a few fish doing that with Leadcore, and we were also doing some bottom bouncers with spinners and crawlers and leeches. And both of those were probably pretty equal as far as the number of fish we caught.
Sounds like, that transition is happening. Spinners are starting to be a little bit more effective. And crankbaits, always really effective crankbaits. I just struggle with using cranks just because it's not the most exciting. It's not the most exciting way to fish. But I'll tell you what, you can catch a lot of fish doing that, can't you?
Yeah. If guys like to pull cranks, I like to pull cranks. I guess it's just something I picked up. I like to use Leadcore, and it's just to me, it's a relaxing way to fish.
Absolutely.
But Devil's Lake, you can hit them at any angle. You can jig at the bridges. The slip bobber bite is still going good at the bridges or in some timber. Spinners, crankbaits, just about anything is still working.
So when you pull cranks, is there a certain size or color that you like to use?
Well, I'm kind of just the natural colors. That's what I like. The perch, and I like, kind of the grays, something with an orange belly on it, maybe. I like Selmos. They work good for us. Number Rapala's number fives, number sevens, some flicker shads. I've never really found a lure when they're biting, when the crankbait bite's going on. I've never really found a lure that doesn't work.
I love that. That's one of the great things when you get on a lake like Devil's Lake like that, and the fish are hungry, they're going to eat. You could throw a shoe at them, and they'll probably grab onto it. One of the fish that's kind of gotten a little bit more popular in recent years, at least among some fishermen, and I think a lot of that is shore fishermen, although I am hearing about guys doing this through the ice quite a bit more, is the white bass up there. How easy is it to get on some white bass?
Well, the white bass they're pretty active this time of year. You can find them just when you're trolling the shorelines. Actually, they'll school up in so many numbers that the water will almost ripple sometimes. And that's fun if you got some kids in there. The size of our bass have really gotten big. A lot of 2.5 to like those three 3.25 pound white bass are coming out. They're a lot of fun to catch. A good fight. Not so many people keep them for eating, but it's a good, fish just to keep everybody busy in the boat.
And if somebody were to maybe keep them, maybe wintertime might be a better idea to keep those fish. Do they smoke them if they eat them, or can you flay them up, or what's the preferred method if people were going to keep one?
Well, guys, you have some some people that keep them, and they just got kind of a color line in them, kind of a mud line. And I've actually had them before. Some of the campers had them, and they didn't tell me what it was. And obviously, when you don't know what it is, it tasted just as good as the everything else. So
right.
I think they're fine to eat if a guy wants them, but this doesn't seem like the locals keep them very much.
Sure. It's funny that you say that because we're actually talking about doing a blind taste test right now. We want to set people down and we want to fry it up. And obviously when you fry things up and use the same seasoning, it gets even tougher to differentiate between fish species. But some people think walleye tastes better. Some people think northern pike tastes better. Some people are just shocked that some people even think that northern pike would be as good as walleye. But I like eating them both. I think they're both good. And I think you fried them up, put them in the same seasoning, you know, cube them up or chunk them up or whatever, you'd have a real hard time just figuring out which one is which.
Yeah, I think most people probably don't like the pike because they don't like to clean them just because of the slime factor and they got a different odor to them. Yeah, the bones. But if you can get the bones out of the pike, it's a really good fish. I enjoy eating it. My number one is perch, and then I'd probably go with walleye, and then I'd probably go with pike on third. But you put it in front of me, I'd eat it all.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you what, Lucas, I brought some pike home from our trip up there when we were up there with February, I think it was. And I had it in the freezer for a couple of months or whatever, and I pulled it out, and man, I could not stop eating it. It was delicious. I love it.
Yeah, it's a firmer fish, that's for sure. It's got a little more texture to it, it's nice.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, pike, perch, of course, up there, walleye, white bass, even some crappies if you can find them. Devil's Lake, a great place to fish. And Lucas, you can take guys out the summer if you want to take them fishing. Of course, you take people out in the snow bears in the winter, and you got cabins you can stay at. Of course, the campground you've got there. Campground's full. Sounds like it's always full, but plenty of places for people to stay if they want to come up there and do a trip. Where do they find out more information about Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort?
Well, they can go right to the website, haybaleheights.com. They can call. There's pictures on there. We have 5 2-bedroom cabins. They have full kitchens in them. And then we have one larger one. It's a 3-bedroom, 2 full bathrooms in it, full kitchen, decks with porches, all the towels, all the linens. Basically, all you got to do is show up, bring your cooler, bring your food, bring your beverages, and the cabins are all there. If they want to call me direct, 701-351-3130 is my phone number.
HayBaleHeights.com, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort, Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Lucas Mertens, thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thank you.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit HayBaleHeights.com. That's HayBaleHeights.com.
Minnesota's Camping Chamonix Vent of the Summer. Moondance Jam 26.
The lineup is locked.
And we're ready to rock with Live, Hailstorm, the Steve Miller Band, Melissa Etheridge, Peter Frampton, The Pretty Reckless, Better Than Ezra, Blackstone Cherry, Vince Neil of Motley Crue, and many more. Jazz Jammer, save $30 off the gate price when you order your tickets now. Call 877-MOON-JAM or visit moondancejam.com. Moondance Jam 26, July 20 through the 22nd, Walker, Minnesota.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskie. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Sporting Journal Radio continues. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to talk to Jason Durham. He's up in that Park Rapids area. And you've had some rainy weather earlier this week, it sounds like.
It's been wet. It's not a bad thing. Well, you know, it always helps the trees and the grass grow so everything doesn't dry out and we have a risk of, you know, fire danger. But the other thing that a lot of people don't think about is that over the course of the summer, as you have wind, you know, that causes evaporation in our lakes. Our lake levels actually stay, you know, pretty consistent throughout the summer. We don't have a lot of change. but it is through evaporation. And so, you know, getting some moisture back into the lakes is great. It's the water cycle.
Jason Durham, the teacher on the show right now, by the way, giving us a lesson. I appreciate it. I mean, there's always something to learn. I like that when we can teach here on Sporting Journal Radio. Always something for people to learn about. Are you spending a lot of time on leech, or where are you spending a lot of your time these days?
You know what? A lot of people ask me that. You know, I'm in the Parker Rapids area, which is about 25 miles away from Leech Lake. And they say, you know, do you go over there quite a bit? And actually, I don't. And the reason I don't is, you know, it's a little bit further drive. Everything is within a stone's throw here. I mean, within a 10-mile radius, we have nearly 100 lakes.
Wow.
So why would I drive 25 miles? Even though, I mean, leech is just an amazing fishery. But I have a lot of friends who guide over there, especially through Leisure Outdoor Adventures. You know, a lot of people have heard of them. And they're out on the water every day on leech. So if somebody wants a trip over there, I simply refer them to Leisure Outdoors. But in the Parker Rapids area, you know, we've got so many smaller bodies of water. And I like that because you're not dealing so much with the wind. I mean, I have to say, once again, for the second year in a row, this is one of the windiest summers I can remember on record. But, you know, when you're fishing a 1,000-acre lake versus, you know, the third largest inland lake in Minnesota, it makes it a lot simpler.
Absolutely. And, it, you know, it's funny you bring up wind. It's been such a part of my conversations lately. I just got done talking to Jamie Dittman about it. We're going up to this Tazon Lake in northwestern Saskatchewan here this week. And it's a big lake trout lake up in the heart of giant lake trout country, up in that northwest corner of Saskatchewan by Northwest Territories, by Athabasca and Great Slave and Great Bear. But there's a big island in the middle of it. So when the wind picks up, you can just fish on the backside of it. You can always find a way to get out of the wind on this lake. And then Lucas Mertens from Devil's Lake, hey, he was mentioning how this year has been one of the windiest years he can remember. And, you know, you get into North Dakota and it's just always windy. And when he is saying it's one of the windiest years he can remember, there's definitely been a lot of wind this year, Jason.
Yeah, I totally agree with it. And last year, you know, we saw some adverse effects from it because as the summer progresses, you know, some of these deeper lakes, they stratify into three distinct layers. You can think of it as like the red, green, and whipped cream jello. And, you know, that top layer of water, it's got a lot of oxygen. And the way that a lake gets oxygen is through the wind. So that's a good thing. But it's also the warmest layer of water. And so that wind will gradually mix that warm water to go deeper and deeper and deeper. The bottom layer of water only has, you know, a small amount of oxygen where a lot of fish in those deep water areas can't survive for any extended period of time. And then you have the center strip, which is the thermocline, which is cool water, and it's got plenty of oxygen. Well, when the top layer starts to sink, you know, you're squeezing out that middle layer, and the bottom layer with the limited oxygen, even though it's got, you know, cool temperature, that starts to rise because of decay of vegetation and even decay of like dying fish. So that middle layer, the thermocline, starts to get thinner and thinner. Well, we had some areas in Hubbard County this last summer, like late summer, that only had a thermocline that was 6 inches wide.
Wow.
And certain fish species like white sucker, lake whitefish, Cisco, tulipy, they can only survive in that thermocline, you know, under certain conditions, certain times of the year. So some of these lakes had some pretty significant die-offs of, you know, what would be considered forage fish.
By the way, class is in session here with Mr. Durham on Sporting Journal Radio. This is great stuff. So is this what happens? Is this the precursor to the lake turning over then? Is that what's happening?
Not necessarily. I mean, turnover is a long process. A lot of people just think of turnover as, you know, when the water becomes stained and you start to see weeds up at the surface and you have a period of time that might be, you know, a week or 10 days or whatever it is, that the fish really aren't very active. Well, turnover is really, you know, it's the process of the water mixing in terms of temperature, you know, and with the wind in the summer and making that warm water go deeper, that's not necessarily turnover, but I'm sure it affects it to some degree as we start to have the water temperatures cool in the fall.
Talking with Jason Durham here on Sporting Journal Radio. Let's talk about fishing then. What is going on? What are you finding for fish out there right now?
You know, to tell you the truth, the walleye bite here has been pretty good. And you can almost set your watch by it. or your, I should say, not your watch, your calendar. They're two different things. This is the class right now. A calendar and a watch are two separate entities. Okay? You can almost set your calendar by this time of year. You can catch walleyes in shallow water.
Really?
In the Park Rapids area. And a lot of people think, oh, man, that water temperature is heating up this year. It's actually a little bit below average. But usually when it's, you know, 85 degrees every day or 90 degrees this time of year, people go, oh, man, those walleyes got to be deep. We got to go deep.
Right.
And, you know, the walleyes will use vegetation as their habitat. And all of that forage is still up in that shallow water. I can almost guarantee you on the 4th of July, I can go out when there's water skiers going all over the place and go up into 8 to 10 feet of water and fish in the cabbage weed and catch walleyes in the middle of the day.
That's crazy. And you're right. Everybody thinks about going deep when the water warms up. But I've been hearing that now from different people, especially on Devil's Lake. You hear about shallower water walleyes all the time. And it just amazes me that you can go out in midsummer and find walleyes in shallower water like that. So when you go into the cabbage, into the weeds like that to find them, how are you approaching them?
One of the easiest ways that I have my guide clients fish is a simple live bait rig. Whether you want to call it a Lindy rig or a roach rig or a live bait rig, you know, you have the weight, the snell, and the hook with live bait. Or you can use an artificial too. There's some key ways to get around the live bait. But one thing I always do in shallow water, first of all, I don't use a walking sinker or an egg sinker. I use a bullet sinker, like a worm weight, because that's going to get through the weeds a lot easier. The second thing is I'm going to move a little bit faster. This time of year, those fish are aggressive. They're looking for something that's moving along. So I might even be, you know, clipping along at 1.2 miles an hour, even 1.5 miles an hour with a rig that, you know, typically we think of as moving very, very slow. So I'll still use about the same size weight, like a eighth ounce, or, you know, you can even use a lighter one, a 16th ounce, and just go right over the tops of those weeds when you're going about a mile an hour.
Try to stay up on top of them then a little bit.
You don't necessarily have to stay on top of them, because with that weight, it's going to help you out. Like if I'm using a night crawler, I'll, instead of just going right through the worm or right through the collar of it, I'll stick the point of the hook back into the worm, and that will help give it some weedless capabilities too. Not necessarily all the time, but it helps. It does help. And I was talking about plastics. You know, one thing you can do is stick on like a 1-inch or a 2-inch white grub instead of live bait and clip along at a pretty good pace. And a lot of times I'll use a spinner in that situation, and the spinners really start to turn on this time of year. And if you're moving like 1.2 miles an hour through that shallow cabbage weed, those fish are just reacting. You know, they're not coming up to it and staring at it and wondering if it's a sucker minnow or a red tail on the end of your rig. They're just reacting to the flash and you know, the item coming past them quickly.
That's so much fun when it's a reaction like that. I love it. Are you finding size on fish at all up there right now?
You know, we're getting reports of some nice fish. And I mean, on our guide trips, we've caught some nice ones. The nice thing about the Park Rapids area is you always have a chance at a trophy fish.
Sure.
And when I say trophy, I'm talking anything 28 inches plus. You know, we've got a lot of great deep water lakes that have some great deep water forage. Like take Long Lake, for instance, which gets over 130 feet deep, that's got Cisco and Tulibee in there like mad. And you have a chance, if I was going to tell anybody to go to a lake in the Park Rapids area to catch a true trophy walleye, like something, you know, over 10 pounds, 30 inch plus, go to Long Lake.
I'd love to catch 30 inch walleye, but if you can give me 4 18 inches, I'm a pretty happy man. Jason,
you know what?
What's
it? It doesn't matter. I mean, to be honest, Brent, it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah, that's true.
When you're out fishing, if there's a bend in the rod,
absolutely,
and you don't know what's on the other end, it's a riot.
You got it. Well, Jason, if people want to fish, do you still got room in your boat yet this summer? How do they get a hold of you?
You know what? I only have a couple dates left. It would be pretty tricky to get on board. But you know what? I've got some dates for the fall.
Sure.
They can always find me on my cell phone, which is area code 218-252-2278. Or you can find me online at go-fish-guides.com.
Very good. Jason, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you.
All right, coming up before the end of the show, we got Joe Henry with that Lake of the Woods Fishing Report on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Minnesota's Camping Chamonix event of the summer. Moondance Jam 26.
The lineup is locked.
And we're ready to rock with live. Hailstorm. The Steve Miller Band. Melissa Etheridge. Peter Frampton. The Pretty Reckless. Better Than Ezra. Blackstone Cherry. Vince Neil of Motley Crue and many more. Jammer, save $30 off a gate price when you order your tickets now. Call 877-MOON-JAM or visit moondancejam.com. Moondance Jam 26, July 20 through the 22nd, Walker, Minnesota.
Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in. It's, man, 4th of July week already. I can't believe corn is, supposed to be knee-high around this time. And some fields are looking pretty good. Some crops had a little bit of storm damage I saw, but I think it's going to be a pretty good summer. I just can't believe it's that time of year already. And if you haven't gone and made a summer fishing trip yet, now is the time to do it. Lake of the Woods is a place to go. Of course, the fishing is unbelievable. We're going to find out a little bit more about it right now with Joe Henry, of course, joining us back here on the show. Happy 4th of July, Joe.
Happy 4th of July to you. Can you believe that we're past the summer solstice and on the downhill slide?
I cannot believe it. And I know what the 4th is on. What is it, a Tuesday this year or whatever it is? It's a little weird this year, but I think this is the weekend everybody's celebrating it, right?
I got a feeling there's not going to be many people working that Monday.
Yeah, probably not. Now, is there a lot of celebrations going on up at Lake of the Woods?
There is. You know, we do, I tell you, the city of Bedette does such a nice 4th of July celebration. You know, when you talk about small towns throughout Minnesota that do, you know, 4th of July celebrations that are very traditional, and also for a small town, do it upright, you wouldn't believe the incredible fireworks displays that this little town puts together, you know, through fundraising and donations and stuff. I mean, it's really neat. And of course, they have lots of other stuff going on all day long. It's kind of cool too. It's a one day celebration. So, you know, we get certainly, you know, visitors that come fishing will say, hey, let's take a little break and just go enjoy small town America. Some people will fish that day and then slide into town at night. And then we get a lot of families coming back to Bedette who maybe have moved away, and they're coming back to visit their own families. And it's a very, very neat small town environment for sure.
Is it going to be on the 1st this year, or what day are they going to do it?
They actually do it on the 4th of July area.
Oh, it is on the 4th. Okay. So it'll be during the week. Okay.
Yep.
It's nice to do it on the 4th, I think, like that. And hey, there's an excuse to go take a couple of days off and go fishing for why not for the whole week, right?
Well, I'd say it's one of those weeks, the way it's broken up, that, I mean, you can really kind of maximize your days off. And I'll tell you what, I mean, the fishing right now at Lake of the Woods is very, very strong. It's funny, Brett, I had a friend of mine who I don't really talk to very often, and just, you know, no other reasons, and we're both busy people, and, you know, you lose touch. Well, he reached out, hey, Joe, I'm up in your neck of the woods, and, you know, we're out in front of the gap. We just got up here. We weren't going to fish till tomorrow, but we have a couple extra hours, and they'd gone out in front of the gap and, you know, hadn't even gotten a bite for about an hour, and they just, he texted me, you know, and I said, well, you know, why don't you slide into check the gap out and then slide into Four Mile Bay and pull harnesses along that river channel that goes in there. Even if it's 5 to 10 feet of water, my gosh, if he didn't go in there and find a few nice walleyes at night. So I was kind of enthused. And then I know the next day he texted me, he was fishing out in front of the Morris Point Gap, finding a few fish, pulling spinners. And then I told him, I said, well, why don't you slide, you know, over to the west of Morris Point between there and Zippel Bay. There's a bunch of small reefs that are kind of along shore that are, they're really off the radar screen, that they don't get much attention. You know, everybody's usually out in that deeper water with charter boats. And, you know, my gosh, I know they popped a couple fish there. And then I talked to another resort. They were actually catching fish in about 14 feet of water, just adjacent to shoreline structure. And so, I mean, there's been a lot of different groups of people catching fish in a lot of different areas.
Well, you get into July, the water temperature warms up, everything just kind of warms up. You're getting into the heat of summertime. It seems like those harnesses and spinners seem to be kind of the ticket no matter where you go.
Yeah, you know, people are still, yes, you're right. And, you know, people are still getting fish on jigs and frozen shiners and jigs and minnows and even some jigs and leeches. But, you know, and that out in that deeper water with Lake of the Woods being stained water, you can anchor up and sit and those wallies are moving around, those saugers are moving around. But I'll tell you what. In that stained water, when you can pull a harness, that spinner is causing vibration that'll attract the walleye through the lateral line. In addition, that flash doesn't hurt you any. And the other thing I think is nice is that, you know, you're moving around a little bit and you're moving your presentation through active fish rather than sitting over potentially docile fish or neutral fish. And that helps too. And I'll tell you what, Brent, you know, using a 2-ounce bottom bouncer with a crawler harness, and then either using a, you know, single hook with a minnow or a leech, or using a double hook with a crawler, which is my go-to. And what I'll do is I'll pinch that crawler off so you don't have a whole snake on there. You know, I want about 3-4 inches off that back hook, and that's all you need. You'll get more hookups. And just either drifting with the wind, or even if you're contour trolling, if you're using your own boat, that can be really effective. You can go from shallow to deep. You can pull through rocks. You know, when I'm pulling a harness spread, I don't drag it in the rocks, you know, if I'm on a reef. What I'll do is I'll touch bottom every once in a while to make sure I'm down there. But I don't want to drag that thing through the rocks. I want to keep it just above.
Talking with Joe Henry here on Sporting Journal Radio. Mobility, a big key. We fished the other day down here for smallmouth. And, I mean, our approach was fast and cover a lot of water. We were out there with Eric Altena, and it worked. And being able to move around like that and cover more water, you're right, Joe. You might be able to find active fish. Even if you might find fish, they may not be as active, so you keep moving around until you find some active ones. And you throw on something like a spinner or something like that, Joe, and walleyes might not be the only fish that you catch, especially on Lake of the Woods, right?
Oh, man, I'll guarantee you that. I mean, it's so funny because, you know, if I ever fish a tournament up there and I see that there could be some wind coming that might prevent me from going all the way across the lake, let's say, I'll try to find a backup spot in the river. And, you know, when I pull harnesses in the river or pull crankbaits, you know, in the river or in Lake of the Woods, for that matter, you're always going to get multi-species. You'll get big pike. You'll get smallies. I mean, you'll catch a ton of fish. So, yeah, you're exactly right. And I'll tell you what, we talk about harnesses being mobile, and they're super effective right now. I'll tell you, if you like pulling crankbaits, which I know you don't care for as much, but it is effective.
It works.
Yeah, it's really absolutely effective. And yeah, you can pull those cranks. Like, right, for a while there, people were pulling cranks right along Pine Island. You know, it's funny. You see all the groups of charters and the different boats out deeper, and they're catching fish. But then if you have the confidence to give it a shot, you know, people were pulling cranks right along Pine Island in that, you know, 5 to 12 feet of water. And for a while there, whacking some nice walleyes because there was some minnow spotting there.
Well, there's no question that pulling cranks is effective. It's just, yeah, you're right. It's just not as much fun if you ask me. But if you're looking to catch fish, it'll definitely work. I saw a picture on the Lake of the Woods Tourism Facebook page of a nice muskie, too, coming out of the lake up there.
They've been getting some nice ones. You know, I get the impression that with some of the weather changes and things, there hasn't been an exact pattern set up, but a lot of nice muskies are being caught, and certainly some muskies that are over 50 inches, what is what's really sought after for the strong muskie anglers. You know, one thing about Lake of the Woods is that, and I'm not as hardcore of a muskie angler by any stretch as some of these guides are. We have some great guides that'll take people out and not only show you a great experience, but teach you a lot about muskie fishing. And, you know, they're telling me that, you know, on Lake of the Woods, you don't have to be throwing the double cowgirls. You can be throwing a more of a small to mid-sized spinner, and that'll be very effective. In addition, right now is a real good time to use those, you know, like those lures that work on top of the water that imitate like a fake duck or something. And, you know, that'll get a lot of attention because that's one of the food sources out there for those muskies right now.
One of the other big fish that you can catch up on Lake of the Woods is sturgeon, and sturgeon opened back up July 1st.
Yeah, and you know, sturgeon, Brett, really get attention in the spring of the year, and for good reason. But you know, in the summer, for the people that fish sturgeon in the summer, they're eating big time. They're loaded in the river. You know, Birchdale has a sturgeon tournament. I think it's in, I want to say it's in August, but they have an international sturgeon tournament, and they fish within basically the confines of Nelson Park within sight of it. And they just going out in one afternoon, they catch a ton of sturgeon right there. You can catch sturgeon up and down the river in the summer. And, you know, if you want a break from the walleye fishing, or if you want to target sturgeon, just go up there and have a relaxing day where you anchor up on the edge of a hole and drop your tackle down, and have a chance to catch the biggest freshwater fish you can catch. It's really a fun, relaxing day.
And if you find that hole, if somebody wants to do that, it's actually a pretty easy approach to try to find those fish, isn't it?
It is. You know, I would say right off the bat, don't be afraid to check out the Lake of the Woods Tourism website, because I actually have how-to videos I did on the water, just what that shows an actual sturgeon setup. But I mean, a 3 to 4 ounce, depending upon the current, no roll sinker, a short 18-inch lead with a 5-aught circle hook loaded with either crawlers or frozen shiners or both. And then you fish either in the hole or on the upward slope upstream, because the thought is those fish will be hanging in those holes and then they'll slide up. What I would say is, you know, yeah, you go hole jumping. There's holes throughout the river. They'll be on your GPS chip, and just go hit different holes. And you can not only, you know, use your sonar to see if there's fish there, but just go fish them for a half hour, 40 minutes, and you'll learn real quick if there's sturgeon there.
Hey, real quick, Joe, we got just about a minute and a half left here, but I also saw one thing. You know, we talk about fishing up there all the time, but up there in northern Minnesota, there's a lot of people that like to take their recreational vehicles up there. Their ATVs in the summer, their snowmobiles in the winter, and you got a ton of trails, don't you?
We have a ton of trails. And, you know, because, you know, Lake of the Woods gets so much attention because of the good walleye fishing and the muskie fishing and such, that the trails really get missed, both ATV trails and snowmobiling. And the ATV trails right now, I'll give you an example. On the south end, Beltrami Island State Forest, you know, you're allowed to take your ATVs on the dirt roads. You can take it on, there's miles and miles of trails through the woods that you can take an ATV on, and they don't get a ton of attention. You know, there's also trails up at the northwest angle, really a neat opportunity for people.
And in the winter, you can, what did you say? There's some snowmobile trails that you can go 60 miles and only cross two roads or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. They're really in a kind of a remote area, just at the east and southeast of Baudette, and really beautiful country. They don't get a ton of attention, but man, is it ever beautiful. And then of course you can, we got trails when the ice is right going along the Rainy River. We got them going, to the west of town. And then of course, all the way across the lake up to the northwest angle.
That's great. Well, if people want to find out more information about the trails or fishing, where do they go, Joe?
Yep. Check out our website. It's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Also, my thanks to Jason Durham, Jamie Dittman, and of course, Lucas Mertens. Thank you for listening, either subscribing through iTunes in the podcast section or your podcast app, or at sportingjournalradio.com, or of course, on our 27-station broadcast radio network. We'll see you next week from Tazen Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. To listen to this show again, get the latest hunting and fishing news and more, visit sportingjournalradio.com.